Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So back in January of 2019, a couple by the name of Jim and Candy Duke, they found a bottle washed up on the Padre Island National Seashore as they were just out for a walk along the beach. And as they examined this bottle a little more closely, they discovered that there was a message in the bottle. It was actually a postcard that asked the receiver to fill out the date and the location that this bottle was received and to send it into a laboratory in Galveston. There was actually a reward mentioned of 50 cents for returning this postcard. So this bottle was actually part of a series of bottles that were sent out in 1962 and 1963 from this laboratory in Galveston. In fact, it was one of 7,863 bottles, to be exact. And these bottles were sent out with a very specific purpose, to study the currents of the waters. So Jim and Candy, they did return that postcard, but they declined the 50-cent reward. So we're in a series right now titled Dear Church. And as we're going through this series, we're looking at the letters written to the churches in the book of Revelation. Now, there weren't a plethora of letters sent out. There weren't 7,000 letters sent. There were just 7 letters sent to 7 different churches. And while the postcards were preserved in a bottle that had to be opened, these letters have been preserved for us in God's Word, and they arrive to us once again today for us to open and to look at together. And so as we read God's Word together, I want you to understand we are to open God's Word, read God's Word, and receive God's Word that our lives might be impacted by His Word. Let me say that again. We are to open God's Word, read God's Word, and to receive God's Word that our lives might be impacted by His Word. Now, we've already seen in each of these letters that were sent out, they were sent with a very specific purpose. 5 of these letters were sent to address problems within these churches. 2 of these letters were sent simply as letters of encouragement. And we're going to see as we look at the letter today to the church in Philadelphia, this is a letter, it doesn't address any problems. It addresses, it simply is a letter of encouragement. Now, this is in contrast to the letter that we looked at last week to the church in Sardis. They didn't receive any encouragement whatsoever. It was only addressing problems within the church. But with Philadelphia, there's not problems to be addressed. Rather, this is simply a letter of encouragement. It's going to be a letter of encouragement for us as well. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 7 through 13 this morning. Revelation 3, 7 through 13. And as you're turning there, let me give you some background on the city of Philadelphia. So Philadelphia was very much a Hellenistic society, worshiping the many false Olympian gods of their day. In fact, Philadelphia was nicknamed Little Athens because as you walked along the streets, because of all of the beautiful buildings, it was a reminder of all of the temples that you would see in Athens that were built to worship these Olympian gods. And so the city of Philadelphia, in many ways, was established to be a missionary city. Now, not missionary city in the context that we might think of with the desire to spread the message of Christ. Rather, their desire was to spread the Greek language, the Greek culture, the Greek civilization, and to spread the worship of their Olympian gods throughout their region and beyond. This was kind of the heart and the mission of the city of Philadelphia. However, in the middle of this city, in the midst of this city, in the middle of the love for the Greek culture, the love for the Greek language, in the middle of the worship of all of these Olympian gods, we find a church. And while the city of Philadelphia had its mission, the church in Philadelphia knew that they had a greater mission. And their mission was not simply to spread the message of the Greeks. Their mission was to spread the message of the gospel. So I want you to hear me today, church. We have a greater mission. Hear that again. We have a greater mission. Now, we live in a great town. Stockdale really is a town with a culture of hospitality. I still remember when we moved into our house a couple of years ago, our kitchen was filled with people and food was already prepared for us, right? We have a culture of hospitality here in Stockdale. We also have a culture of spirit in this town. When we go out to the games on Friday night, we know that we're going to see everyone in the town there. And that's not even to mention all of the people that show up to the pep rallies on Friday mornings. There is just a culture of spirit in this town. And for people that don't live in a small town like Stockdale, it's hard for them to understand this culture. I often describe living in a small town like living on a college campus, where you know where everybody lives, and you know that no matter where you go, you're probably going to run into somebody you know, and you're going to see them at the game on Friday night, right? So we live in a great town. But as much as I love this town, as much as I love the culture of this town, I'm reminded that our mission as a church is not to spread the message of Stockdale. Our mission is to spread the message of our Savior. We have a greater mission. In fact, you'll hear me say it this way oftentimes. We are a community church with a kingdom mission. That's what's printed at the top of our bulletins. If you watch my midweek updates that I put out on Facebook and YouTube on Wednesdays, that's what I say at the end of every midweek update. We are a community church with a kingdom mission, meaning we are in this community and we love this community. But our mission is not simply to grow this community. Our mission is to grow His kingdom. We have a greater mission. The church in Philadelphia had a greater mission. Now, if you're familiar with the name Philadelphia, then you know that it means brotherly love. And the city of Philadelphia, it was known for its brotherly love. Like Stockdale, it was known for its hospitality. But even though it was a city with great hospitality, that didn't mean that the church in Philadelphia wasn't still going to experience hardships and persecution for their faith. So with that in mind, let's read our passage now. Revelation 3, 7 through 13 says, "Write to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Thus says the Holy One, the true one, the one who has the key of David, who opens and no one will close, and who closes and no one opens. I know your works. Look, I have placed before you an open door that no one can close because you have but little power. Yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Note this, I will make those from the synagogue of Satan who claim to be Jews and are not, but are lying, I will make them come and bow down at your feet, and they will come to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to endure, I will also keep you from the hour of testing that is going to come on the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one takes your crown. The one who conquers, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will never go out again. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God and my new name. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches." Now, as we look at this passage this morning, I want to begin once again by highlighting the descriptors that Jesus uses of himself in verse 7. Jesus says, "Write to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, thus says the Holy One, the true one, the one who has the key of David, who opens and no one will close, and who closes and no one opens." So there's three things that Jesus says about himself. He's the Holy One, the true one, and the one who opens and closes. So I want to take just a moment to discuss these descriptors with you. First, he is the Holy One. Once again, this description that Jesus uses of himself is a reminder for us that Jesus is God himself. Jesus has given us this reminder at the beginning of all of these letters. Jesus wants the churches to know. He wants us to remember and to know that he is more than just anybody. He's more than just a person. He is the one true God. I'm reminded of what Jesus says to the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, verse 18. After calling Jesus good teacher, Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone," pointing to the fact that he is good and he is God. And so, in the same way, no one is truly holy except God alone. And so, for Jesus to say that he is the Holy One, it is a clear indicator that Jesus is referring to himself not just as a man, not just as a prophet, not as a good person. He is referring to himself as God. He is the Holy One. So let me just give you this reminder this morning. Because Jesus is the Holy One, Jesus is the only one who can make us holy. We were reminded of this last week with the letter to the church in Sardis, that it's not religion that cleans us. It's not our own works that make us holy, but it is Jesus and his work that makes us holy. It is Jesus that makes our garments white and spotless. Jesus is the only one who can make us holy. Second, Jesus is the true one. Now, the word that's used here for true is not the contrast for the word false. Rather, it is the contrast for the word fake. And so, by Jesus saying that he is the true one, he is saying that he is the real one. For the church in Philadelphia, this would have significant meaning because of all of the false Olympian gods that were being worshipped around them in their culture. And so Jesus is giving them this reminder, all of these other gods that are being worshipped are fake, but I am real. Church, I want you to understand, we worship the real God. When we pray, we do not pray to a God with the inability to act. When we lift our voices in praise, we are not lifting our voices to deaf ears. Rather, when we pray and when we sing, we can guarantee that God sees us and that God hears us. You see, he is not a God that we formed with our hands. We have been formed by his hands. There are many false gods in this world, many that are fake. But because we worship Jesus, we can rest assured that we worship the real God. Third, Jesus is the one who opens and closes. This is a reminder for us that Jesus is the one and the only one through which we are able to enter into his kingdom. In John chapter 10, Jesus refers to himself as the gatekeeper by which the sheep are able to enter into the pen. And in John chapter 14, Jesus refers to himself as the way, the only way to the Father. And so as Jesus refers to himself now as the one who opens and closes, once again, he's giving us this reminder that there is no other door by which we are able to enter. We can only enter into the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. There's no other person, no other name by which we can be saved. Rather, it is only by Jesus and through Jesus that we can enter into his kingdom. He is the one and the only door, and he is the one and the only one who opens and closes that door. And so once again, Jesus begins this letter by giving these descriptors of himself, but then we're going to see a couple of reminders that Jesus gives. And these reminders were encouragements to the church in Philadelphia as they were going through persecutions. And they are encouragements for us today. First, we see a reminder that Jesus is our assurance of salvation. Let's look at verse 8 again. It says, "I know your works. Look, I have placed before you an open door that no one can close because you have but little power. Yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." Jesus is our assurance of salvation. So, although the city of Philadelphia was a city of brotherly love, the city of hospitality, for the Christians in Philadelphia, the doors to the Jewish synagogues had been closed to them. In other words, because of their faith in Christ, they were excluded from the synagogues that were in Philadelphia. And yet Jesus gives them this reminder that it is their very faith in Christ that has opened the door for them to enter into something far greater. The door has been opened to them to God's kingdom. And while they might be able to shut the doors to the synagogues on these believers, they could not shut the door to God's kingdom. And so I want you to understand this morning, if you have given your life to Christ, no one can shut the door on you to God's kingdom. The only one who has the power and the authority to open and close that door is Jesus Christ himself. And by his goodness and by his mercy, that door has been opened to any and all who would believe. And when you come to know Christ as Lord, that door is open to you and it is never again shut. No one can shut the door on you to God's kingdom. And the good news is this assurance of this open door, this assurance of salvation is not based on our own strength. What did Jesus say to the church in Philadelphia? You have but little power. The door was not open because they were strong. The door was open to them because Jesus is strong. In the same way, when it comes to our salvation, the door is not open because we are strong. The door is open because he is strong. And maybe you need to be reminded of that truth today. The door is not open because we are strong. The door is open because he is strong. You see, all too often, I think this is what happens. We come to faith in Christ, not by our own strength, not by our own power, but through Christ's strength, through his power, we come to faith in Christ. But I think somewhere along the way, we begin looking to our own strength again. Maybe we begin to compare our lives as a believer to other believers, and we say, man, I am not as strong of a Christian. I am not as strong of a believer as they are. And maybe that causes us to begin to doubt our own salvation. And so as we begin to look to our own strength, we forget that it was never about our strength to begin with. Now, I'm not saying that we aren't called to walk in obedience, that we shouldn't strive to walk in obedience, that it shouldn't be our desire to become more like Christ. That absolutely should be our desire. We are called to walk in obedience. We are called to become more like Christ each and every day through his power. But we have never been and will never be strong enough to save ourselves. We've never been strong enough to transform ourselves. We've never been strong enough to keep ourselves. The door is not open because we are strong. The door is open because he is strong. So stop looking to your own strength. Begin looking to the strength of Jesus. And so we see this reminder that Jesus is our assurance of salvation. Second, we see this reminder that Jesus is our stronghold in difficult times. So in verse 9, Jesus talks about those who claimed to be Jews that were not. These were Jews that did not come through the bloodline of Abraham. And these false Jews, these were the ones that were persecuting the church in Philadelphia. And so they were doing the work of Satan, as Jesus says. And so the church in Philadelphia, they had already endured great hardships. They had already endured great persecution. But then in verse 10, Jesus talks about a day that's coming that the entire world is going to be tested, or a time that the entire world is going to endure a great trial. I believe that this is referring to the great tribulation. And he makes this promise to the church, I will keep you from it. This is a promise for us as well. If you have given your life to Christ, Jesus will keep us from it. And so as Jesus talks about the persecution that they have already endured and the great trial that is to come, Jesus gives them a simple reminder, and this is a reminder for us today as well. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our hope. Listen, you may already feel like you're going through a trial, like you're going through a tribulation. I want you to hear this truth today. Jesus is our hope. Maybe you've been looked down upon. You've been belittled. You've been persecuted for your faith. Jesus is our hope. He's our hope for today, and He is our hope for whatever we might face tomorrow. Jesus is our hope. And so as Jesus reminds us of this hope for today and this hope for tomorrow, He says in verse 11, "I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have." Now, when Jesus says that He's coming soon, it's not to imply that He's coming back immediately. Rather, it is to imply that when He returns, He will come suddenly. He will come quickly. Listen, we don't know the day or hour that Jesus is going to return, but when He returns, He is going to return quickly. When He returns, He is going to return suddenly. But here's what we need to do right now until His return. For those who believe, we need to continue to cling to Him through every trial, through every difficulty, through every moment of persecution. We are to continue to cling to Him because He is our hope. He is our stronghold in difficult times. And as we cling to Him, we are reminded that we have a reward greater than 50 cents. Right? We have an eternal reward. We have the reward of Jesus Himself, the greatest reward that we can ever receive. I'm claiming that reward, right? But if you're here today and you've never experienced the hope of Jesus, you know, this letter, it was a letter of encouragement for the church in Philadelphia. It's a letter of encouragement for us. But if you've never experienced the hope of Jesus, this is not a letter of encouragement for you. This is a letter of invitation for you. Verses 12 and 13 say, "The one who conquers, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. He will never go out again. I will write on him the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches." You see, when we come to know Jesus as Lord, when you come to know Jesus as Lord, you aren't just invited into an earthly temple, you are invited into an eternal temple. You are invited into God's kingdom. And nothing and no one can ever remove you from it. When you come to know Jesus, your salvation is guaranteed in Him. And so we cling to that hope. If you've never trusted in Jesus as your Lord, if you've never experienced that hope, then I want to give you the opportunity to respond this morning. And so in just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this will be your opportunity to respond to whatever it is that God's doing in your heart and in your life. And if you're here today and you would say, you know what, I have never trusted in Jesus as my Lord, but today I'm ready to call out to Him, recognizing that there is no other name that I can enter into the kingdom of God by, recognizing that there is no other person that can open and close the door to salvation for me. I recognize that it is Jesus that is the one who saves. If you are ready to call upon the name of Jesus to save you this morning, then I want to invite you to respond. I'm going to be standing right down front. As we sing, step out of your seat. Join me down here. I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to pray with you. Listen, God's desire this morning is for you to respond to Him, for you to know Jesus as Lord. And if you've never done that, then come this morning. Let's talk. Let's pray. Today, you can know Jesus as your Lord and as your assurance for salvation. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, you know what, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that next step of making it public through baptism like Paisley did this morning. We've seen many baptized this year and last year already. We'd love to see you baptized as well. We'd love to see you take that step to publicly declare Christ as Lord through baptism. If that's you, I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've taken that step of baptism by immersion already. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale, and I know that God's calling me to make this my church home, to become a member of this church body, to unite my life with the mission of this church body to further his kingdom. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. But whatever it is that God's calling you to do in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.